Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Christ comes to us as he did the disciples, and he says, "Peace be with you." You know, I recently heard about a group of pastors that were gathering together. It's my grandson. Don't worry about him. He'll make a little noise. I'll talk over him. A bunch of pastors were gathered together talking about things, and one of them happened to mention that how he was lamenting that his grandkids, speaking of grandkids, who were post 9/11 kids, had no sense of peace. They had only lived in time of war. And it got, of course, all the pastors talking and lamenting in the same way and about how unpeaceful the world is right now. And the implication was being that they knew better, more peaceful times in their lives. Peaceful times, more peaceful than their grandkids probably would ever know, they were thinking. And one of the other pastors, a kind of a self-declared hemorrhoid, as he would call himself, couldn't resist applying the word of the Lord from the book of Ecclesiastes, which says, "Do not say, why was it that the former days were better than these days? For it was not out of wisdom that you asked this." There have always been wars and rumors of wars. There's always been sickness and suffering and poverty and sorrow. There's always been death. There's always been sin, which means that unless you've known no sin, you have never truly known peace. Well, suffice it to say that comment didn't exactly create a peaceful atmosphere within the pastors. But it does ask us to define peace. What does it mean to you? Does peace mean everyone gets along, simply playing nice, tolerating each other? Does peace mean no hard feelings, a mere quiet and civilized indifference? Does peace mean not having to worry about sickness, bills, work? Some of those who are retired probably would be nodding in agreement, which leads me to ask, if the retirement life is so peaceful, then why are so many of them wanting to go to heaven? I remember Chaplain Schwarzkopf, the sainted Chaplain Schwarzkopf, and towards the end of his life, he just kept saying, "I don't know why the Lord doesn't just take me." There was no peace there. Well, I'm not even going to try to address Social Security or Medicare or all the other worldly things that we get so uptight about, things that give us no peace. But that leads to another question. Does death equal peace? Not necessarily. Not if you die outside of faith in Christ. Death without faith in Christ is anything but peaceful. Going back to Solomon's instruction from Ecclesiastes, ask yourself if you've ever really known peace in your life. Maybe you've known less hectic times and trying times throughout your life, but have you really ever known peace? The absence of pain, sorrow, regret, and worry? I haven't. And neither is Solomon. And I'm willing to bet that if we're all honest, we'll find ourselves in the same boat, a boat that's been drifting on a storm-tossed, tumultuous sea, which we call life. So if this is the case, if none of us ever truly know peace in our lives, doesn't it make the words of Jesus seem a little bit trite when he comes and says, "Peace be with you"? Think about it. We Christians speak of peace, particularly the peace of Christ here at church. Is this what Christ meant? Is this peace here really different from the peace we get from the rest of the world in our day-to-day lives? How many of us are at peace right now, in this moment? Don't be too quick to voice out. Are you truly at peace? Or are you sitting here with things eating at you? Do you feel you're not good enough to be here because you've got some skeletons in your closet? Or worse yet, do you feel like all these hypocrites aren't good enough to be here with you? Boy, I can't believe so-and-so. That doesn't sound like peace to me. Are you upset, maybe, because I've even approached this subject? Rattled your cages. You know, over the course of the past couple of weeks, our gospel lessons have dealt with Jesus directing people to a specific location for peace, assurance, and salvation. When Martha was in the throes of her grief over the loss of her brother, Jesus directed her to himself and his words when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. If you believed in me, you would recognize the glorious working of God right here, right now." When the ladies went to the tomb on Easter Sunday morning looking for a corpse to anoint for a proper burial, the resurrected Christ and the angel directed them away from the tomb, instead pointing them to the living, breathing Messiah in their midst. The living, breathing Messiah who said, "Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Today is really nothing different. Jesus again is pointing, directing us to a very specific place for a very specific reason: to bring us peace, real peace. Notice what your Lord does with his disciples who were cowering behind locked doors out of fear, out of total lack of peace. He proclaims peace, shows them his crucifixion wounds, and then proclaims and pronounces peace again. Think about that for a moment, what he's doing. Christ's declaration of peace is not just a simple greeting or a holy howdy, like you might see at some churches, and maybe we're guilty of it ourselves at times. We pass the peace to one another, which basically turns out to be nothing more than catching up and laughing with a few close friends and relatives, and maybe making some plans for lunch. No one ever uses the time to truly cultivate the peace of Christ. That is, to purposefully seek out those who have something against you and who are not at peace. Few ever use this time to forgive as you've been forgiven, to love as you've been loved. It may be called the passing of the peace or the sharing of the peace, but sometimes it's anything but that. But Christ's declaration of peace is different. It's a pronouncement. It's a declaration. It's living proof of what he did on Good Friday on that bloody cross. There he said, "It is finished." His work was done. And he says, "Look here. Behold, your heavenly Father is at peace. Here is the peace that surpasses all human understanding." Jesus' declaration of peace was very much like a show and tell. His declaration of peace necessarily included the show and tell of his wounds. He suffered for all mankind, laying down his life on the cross. He told them, he proved to them, and assured them of God's peace for them, the proof being in his very wounds which he bore on his body. In this way, Christ's pronouncement of peace is also an absolution. If you remember the last time these guys had seen Jesus, they were fleeing for their lives, running away, deserting him. Despite all their sinful failures, all their damnable errors, Jesus was directing him to the proof that all was forgiven. There were no hard feelings, no letting it go for now, but being sure to file it away for later as he could hold it over their heads and throw it back in their faces just when the time's right. No, that's how we act. That's not how the Son of God acts. Thankfully, that's not how our unconditionally loving Lord and Savior acts. Jesus told these men that all was peaceful with their Heavenly Father, and he showed them exactly how that peace came about. The wounds he received in his suffering and death. Then he told them again exactly what those wounds meant for them and meant for all mankind. Peace. Peace be with you. God's eternal peace. In this light, you get the feeling that Jesus really wanted to make this core salvation truth crystal clear. He didn't want there to be any doubt whatsoever about the standing between them and their Heavenly Father. My friends, nothing has changed since that day. Jesus still comes to us, directing us to that same peace, our eternal peace. If only we weren't so stubborn and simply believed that Christ shows himself and tells us. He brings us to his word. He takes us to the baptismal font. He feeds us with his body and blood, pronouncing, declaring, and proving that our Heavenly Father is completely at peace with us because of Christ's all-redeeming death and resurrection. What a message. His pronouncement of peace is still divine absolution for our souls. It's not a suggestion. It's not a nice, godly way of excusing the congregation at the end of the service. As we receive the blessing of God at the end of the service, we are receiving a faithful proclamation of gospel truth. Jesus Christ died and rose again for you and me. Our sins are remembered no more. We are completely covered in Christ's righteousness. And that means peace now and forever. So may this true peace, which surpasses all understanding and is recognized and understood and shared only in saving faith, be and remain with us always. Yes, you are at peace in Christ and because of Christ. And in spite of sinful sorrows and the troubles you face in this sinful and fallen world, you know true peace. Because you know Christ. By God's grace, may this be our reality, our joy, our peace, now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.